It's the D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James. And by my side, as always, is that B-A-double-D-A, double crooked letter, badass Billy Gunn. Together we are the New Age Outlaws. And you're listening to the VOC Nation. And if you ain't down with that, he's got two words for you. Suck it.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer, the Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star, Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality, Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum, the Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter too, at VOC Nation.
That's pretty exciting, right, Omega?
Indeed.
Yeah, right.
HIAC Talk Radio is always exciting.
Get in there.
Oh, I got a stinging pig!
You will deal with Ed Atlas harshly.
Fight forever, Guardian!
I think he broke it.
Don't you make me do!
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. On your screen right now is the guy who ate Luke Harper. He's the fat Luke Harper, and that was according to some guy in the chat right now, or some girl.
Aaron Clouds?
Tara Clouds, that's it. Yeah. I guess that was funny. I had my first Twitch spam music, but welcome to HIAC Talk Radio. We're going to start light. We're going to try to end light, but this episode is going to be mainly a downer because we weren't going to do another episode before the end of the year, but big things happened. Actually, there's two. I think we could riff on the other, but let's talk about the unfortunate big news in a second. Of course, I'm Dan Calchico, Dan83, Mark at Go Thompson on Twitter.
And hashtag of course, Fat Luke Harper.
Fat Luke Harper. We're going to hashtag it every time now. I'm going to hashtag it on the end of every episode. And the star of the show, ladies and gentlemen, Craig Legans. Find him at
Craig Legans.
Very hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag moth.
Hashtag moth. Very good.
Man of the hour. Every
man
hour.
Of the hour. Man of the hour. Too sweet to be sour. I want to thank everybody for coming in the room. Aaron, I figured it out. Socks, excuse me. I figured it out before you got in here. Matt was here just letting him do it. Didn't help me at all. No, I'm kidding. But now I know how to ban people.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. So I can't wait for all the other spam accounts that are going to start coming in now.
Well, once again, we've got the hashtag Fat Luke Harper.
Fat Luke Harper. We got it now. We're here. So, and Shauna is on the way on the other side of the world, and that's confidential. But anyway, yes, we said Fat Luke Harper because somebody called Mark that, but we are here for one reason. And unfortunately, it is the passing of John Huber, who you also know as Luke Harper and also known as Brody Lee. Listen, it was a
man.
Yeah, it was
like what a buzzkill.
But buzzkill is the way putting it lightly. Yes,
I know.
No. Go ahead. You guys go. I'll chime in. But
so what? First off, I wasn't really familiar with him until he was Luke Harper. The Wyatt family is really what brought it. I knew who he was because someone told me, hey, there's this wrestler that looks like the dude from Mallrats, and Bruiser Brody had a baby. And I was like, that's cool. Let me look at him. And I saw him, and I was like, damn, that's exactly what he looks like. And I was interested in him, but like I was just kind of out of the wrestling loop. And then all of a sudden, the Wyatt family happened. And the Wyatt family is what brought me back into professional wrestling, especially with them and the Shield. And I'm like, you guys know I'm a huge Bray Wyatt person, and that's fine. But like, I feel like the Wyatt family was just doing like cool, weird things that like you couldn't get away with, like that didn't exist in wrestling for a long time. And like, I don't know, Luke was just such a, like when he was Luke Harper, Brody was when Luke Harper was doing some neat stuff. Like, I feel like he's underutilized, of course, in the WWE. And then it finally gets to AEW, man, and it feels like they've built this character, this creation that like is perfect for his brain. Like, I think that's something that AEW does pretty well. If they have a guy that knows how to take the ball and run with it, they just kind of let them go, and they do it. And if they're a home run, they're a home run, right? Am I wrong on this one?
I think AEW, one of their downfalls, Go-Go, is that they give the wrestlers freedom, but that's also to their detriment because they give the wrestlers too much freedom because there's no head booker. Everyone is in charge of their own angles. Chris Jericho does his own thing. The Young Bucks are in charge of the tag team division. Kenny Omega is in charge of the women's division and his own angles. So there's no – but as far as Luke Harper goes the Brody. Exalted one, Brody Lee, in AEW. I saw him as Brody Lee in the Indies. I saw him in CZW and I saw him in PW as Brody Lee. And and I know he got the name because he was a big Mallrats fan and he was called Brody as a kid because he looked like the Brody character from Kevin Smith's movies. But when he had that beard and that long hair, and when I saw him, he had the fuzzy boots. He was Brody Lee, and he's the closest thing to a Bruiser Brody as there ever was in professional wrestling history. And because I'm older and because I'm a huge Bruiser Brody, Mark, and for you younger fans, the Bruiser Brody still exists on YouTube, thankfully. But having seen him live multiple times, I was I was just as down about his death, about the original Bruiser Brody's death, as I am about John Huber's, because that was as close to a Bruiser Brody as there has ever been. My problem with him being in AEW was his Luke Harper character with the Wyatt family was perfect, and he kept a wild-eyed look. He had the great, you know, athleticism for a guy that big, the discus clothesline, very effective, and he never spoke, which is what got him over even more, just for being who he is. When he came to AEW, I thought as Brody Lee, he would go back to what brought him to the dance and being that wild-eyed Bruiser Brody-like character, you know, running in on people's matches and kicking the crap out of everybody and then leaving, and we never knew if he was a heel or a face or what he was going to do next. When they brought him in, and I understand why they did it, because John Huber is a great spokesman. He can relay his message, but he had a really stupid outfit, and he was a really mild-mannered, suit-wearing, you know, thoughtful, provocative man. And I thought that was all wrong for a guy that looked that big, who was that big and that wild-eyed and that. So it's weird to say that when he was underutilized when he was in the WWE, even though he was a former Intercontinental Champion. And when he finally got a chance to shine in AEW, to me, he was still underutilized because I still thought they weren't tapping into the potential that this man could be the next Bruiser Brody, and you have him in your lap, and instead you make him the head of this 25-man squad the Exalted One. But what the thing that sticks out above anything else is how much he's loved in both companies, unequivocally.
I was going to say but that 25-man squad was a laughing just a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And you put him in charge of it. All of a sudden, everyone's like, "Oh no, man, maybe this is cool." didn't he make the difference between it being like the fat guy in the mask and the other guy, and then you put Brody Lee there, and you're like, this is something I can get behind now. And that's the, like, I just want to say that's like the kind of the gravitas, the that he brought to something.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like you said, I do feel like I wish they had gotten to the point where the Dark Order was dismissed and he could just be Brody Lee again. Like, I had to imagine that was down the line, but just to give someone the face of a joke that felt like mm-hmm. just a bad gimmick, and yeah. for him to pull it to the ground and people be like, no, man, Dark Order's sweet now. Like, seriously, like, didn't you, like, when you watch Dark Order come down, you're like, here we go. Oh, man.
I think him squashing Cody was the best thing they could do for him and for that group, because he really put him over. Because Cody was untouchable, unbeatable until then, and, you know, and he went through him in 5 minutes, which was great for him. I thought it could have been. Imagine how much better that could have been if he was as the Wild Eyed Bruiser Brody character, the unstoppable one.
I don't disagree with you at all.
I don't. No, it was the best thing they could have done. Craig, you and I watched that live while we were doing the show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I cannot find the footage of the clip. I'll find it once I get the Twitter working again. But it's on there on Twitter. The moment he was revealed as that, I forgot what the announcement was that he came out. Mm-hmm. The Exalted One. Yeah.
Yeah, the Exalted One.
Exalted One.
Whoever the Exalted One was, and he came out, and you literally saw me on stream live as Craig's doing Wrestling Story and just. It was legit, like, they're gonna give him the world. Thank you. And I don't want to harp too much on it. Is not the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a couple weeks we can talk about booking decisions from other companies.
Yeah,
but it's not the time now, and I'll get into a little bit more of that later. But it comes off of here's the point I wanted to make. And you guys, I want you to elaborate on this too, because Craig kind of touched upon it. And also, keep talking about his career after I'm finished here. Please, Mark, whatever you wanted to get out, do.
Yeah, I got one more thing.
That's oh, no, do your thing, man. You're perfect. I did not want to quickly pass this. Mm-hmm. I did not want to overlook this. And it came off of a week where a certain promoter in a certain part of New Jersey is doing scummy, stupid things again, and wrestling fans continue to let them get away with it. A summer and a year, everybody, of course, had not a great year for the most part. And, you know, speaking out happened in wrestling, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, wrestling is on fire and not in a pleasant way. Where all these bad things were happening, not one person who matters has a bad thing to say about this guy.
No.
Not one. And I think it's important. As bad as this year was, as terrible this is, 41 years old, mm-hmm. that how it cannot be undersold, understated, how many lives this guy touched positively, whether how big or small it was, whether him a small interaction. I've never seen this many stories coming out about a guy who was wrestling on the indie circuit that worked with so many people for them and not for himself. You know what I mean? That yeah. This is for you. This is not about me. We're here to get you over. That's why I'm here. What do you want to do? I haven't seen so many positive stories on the road that I have of John Huber, the man. I have never, never, never. All these legends come and go, and there's always somebody who goes, well, you know, he was kind of a dick. And, you know, even mm-hmm. when Roddy Piper died.
Yeah.
As much as I'm a Piper mark, you know, it's old wrestling. It's not all, you know, happy shit mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
Not one person goes, I think John Huber was a dick, because it didn't exist. Mm-mm. Doesn't exist.
No.
I think that's important. It's a shame and it's not a shame is not a strong enough word to put in these day and age with what's going on in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to make you go like this, Mark.
I'm sorry, man. Hang on. Just go ahead.
Yeah. In this day and age that he had to die for these stories to come out, mm-hmm. but it is refreshing to know there are good people in wrestling still on top of all the other bullshit we have to deal with.
Yeah.
His son is getting taken care of. Mm-hmm. AEW is going out of the way to take care of this kid. CM Punk is selling all his merch, and it's all going to the family. Pro Wrestling Tees is selling all. John, Mark, if you need to take a break, you can walk away for a minute or two.
Sorry, hang on.
Come back when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Pro Wrestling Tees is selling all his merch. It's all going to the family.
Yeah.
Can you remember a time that a wrestler was this revered in such a positive way?
Not for a wrestler that was not a huge mainstream star, Dan.
Yes.
You know, when we lost Dusty, there was a tremendous amount of outpouring, and rightfully so, because he was one of the biggest box office attractions.
Dusty.
In wrestling history. John Huber was not. Yeah. And yet, testimony after testimony from people that, especially from people that will go down as a dick, probably.
Yeah.
When their career is over, when their time has passed.
Yeah.
But even these self same dicks had nothing but great things to say about John Huber. Randy Orton's tribute to him on Instagram was absolute. I didn't think Randy Orton had a nice thing to say about anybody. Even the people that.
The worst. And yeah. I read that, I cried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you. I was looking for the post.
Yeah. Obviously, Bray Wyatt's tribute to him.
That broke me, dude.
Yeah. Signed his real name, Wyndham, and talked about putting his son over, you know, as part of their deal. And even saying that, you know, I expected us to be, you know, doing jobs in high school gymnasiums, you know, doing old Wyatt family spots in our 70s. You know, you hit the nail on the head so much, Dan. You know, we all three of us love professional wrestling so much, and you know, love the wrestlers, the stories that they have, because their job is unlike any other job on the planet. And you don't make friends a lot. You have coworkers, you have acquaintances, you have guys that you might bump into from time to time on the road, but you never really get close with. Every single person that was within the universe of John Huber had a great story or a great memory or just a great time they had. I had no idea that Big E and John Huber even knew each other, but they would spend weekends, you know, watching
the text TV messages,
on
man.
The couch. Yeah, on the couch. The shot that Huber said something about him not having a T-shirt, and somebody in merch went and made a T-shirt for him, and there was a great picture of Jericho and Huber and Bray Wyatt and Cesaro and all wearing, you know, shirt. Someone like Bully Ray, who never worked with him, still had nothing but great things to say about John Huber. And you know, it's Tuesday. You know what that means? And that was his catchphrase. And he said, what does that mean? Whatever that day means to you, that's what it means.
It's always the nastiest guys on TV that are like the nicest.
Yeah.
You know, and that is, there's no exception. I just to drive the point home more,
mm-hmm.
You know, even when you and I and Mark, we were telling stories for about a half hour before the show started.
Mm-hmm.
And we always remember the bad things. And it's nice to see, I'm very, very careful when I tweet about wrestling, about the faults of wrestling fans, that I include myself, because I'm there, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I hear you
all.
Yeah, we are. That's the point.
We're spoiled. We're spoiled rotten as wrestling fans.
And just a side note, when people say, why do you care so much? Why do you fight for it so much? Because something that Craig just said, I fucking love wrestling, and I want it to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Inside and out. But anyway, that's for another podcast for another time.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
It just struck me is all. That's all. It just struck me hard how this guy was loved everywhere.
I read his wife's goodbye, and that was, like, the worst thing I could have done.
That was bad timing, dude.
But it might have been, I think it's Eric Rowan's. He put up the fan art picture. But he always said that, I'm sorry. I literally didn't think I'd be this upset.
I did. Okay. When you texted me, I knew how it was going to go, brother.
I thought I was going to be cool. I, like, got it all out of my system, like, 2 days ago. Oh, my God. He'd always say goodbye forever.
Yeah.
Because he just wanted to go home. And it's... He just wanted to be with his kids and his wife. And you know what, man? That's cool.
Yeah. Yes.
You know? Even like you guys were saying, guys that are garbage wrestlers, like people that are just, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Stop saying sorry. Just dig it through. Don't worry about it.
Human beings, like in the professional wrestling universe, have nothing bad to say about a man for once.
Yeah.
Like we went over the, it's like, I hate to compare apples to oranges, but we did that Pat Patterson thing. And it was just like, yeah, everyone was upset, but he was also a shithead. He was just a shithead, you know? And here's a guy that dies, and all he did was everything right for everyone. And that's not, it's just not fair at 41.
That's what I said, dude. It's not fair. You got that guy up in fuckhead Jersey doing the same fuckhead things, and he's still here. Yeah. It's hard to not be bitter about that.
I'm so glad I get to see so much of them. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, guys.
That's how we all. You're illustrating how we all feel, Gogo. Because we're just fans. Imagine the people that got to see him.
If I'd known him,
yeah,
I don't think I'd be able to recover for weeks. Oh my God!
Nobody has.
I'm just someone that watched him. Like he was a part of my life because he entertained me. He was for how long too? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how long have I like the Wyatt? Like I said, the Wyatt family is the reason I watched wrestling. It was so cool. He was so different than anything else that they'd put out in years.
Those two are the only him and Eric Rowan are the only reasons I gave a holy shit about the Bludgeon Brothers. The stupidest thing.
How great Bludgeon Brothers were?
And they shouldn't have been, because it was the dumbest thing to come down the pike since 1995. But I was like, I'm sold. Do it. Now give them the championship and let them run forever.
I was so mad when they took the belts away from them. Because you just let them lay waste to everyone. I was like, you know what? They've got styrofoam hammers. This is what we're going to do. let's go with it. Let's do it. And then all of a sudden, they're like, nah, just kidding, Usos.
Go ahead. Greg.
They had an opportunity, the WWE did, to recreate a 21st century Road Warriors with those guys.
It's going to be amazing. And
And it's not the first time they dropped the ball on Luke Harper and John Huber in WWE, but I thought that was his last gas. I thought when they brought out, the Sledgehammers were stupid, but if you're going to have a monster tag team that just ran over everyone,
a lot of
the Road Warriors will let them go.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep them on them for a year. Get them the most. I mean, why is it that that Undertaker and Kane, the Brothers of Destruction, had a longer reign than the Bludgeon Brothers? Because they weren't a makeshift tag team. They were just who they were, a team just put together for the reason just to run over everyone.
Yeah.
And you make them face, and you sell 10,000 foam hammers at every house show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just foam hammers, and every kid's just hitting another kid in the face with a foam hammer. And then they make $10 billion off goddamn Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
You always have that. And because Bray's there, you can always have the reunited of the Wyatt family at any time.
You're bored with it, once you've sold enough foam hammers, you're like, oh, just kidding, Wyatt family.
Mm-hmm.
just kidding.
But John Huber was really, and the thing is that I found out the most about in this past week since his passing, we love pro wrestling, we love the pro wrestlers, and thanks to this age that we live in now, we know more about the personal lives of the wrestlers we like than we ever did, ever. But I found out more about his love for his wife Amanda and his kids. Because that's the one thing that keeps going through every single tribute to John Huber is his family, is his family. And that's one thing we take for granted, as, now that we know so much about our favorite wrestlers, we know their personal lives and, somewhere they live and who they live with and all this stuff. But to know that you could not say anything or couldn't speak to John Huber without him mentioning his family, his wife and his kids. More than anything else. And that, I think, is the most that has stood out that I've never heard from other professional wrestlers. That being a family man is not – being a professional wrestler and being a family man do not go together. You're married to a wrestler, male or female. You make peace with the fact that you're never going to see that person. Even during a pandemic, it's not a guarantee because they're just not going to be there. But with John Huber, all you heard from anyone who knew him for every tribute he got was his wife, his kids. Because to know John Huber, you just knew that he was a family man. And that's what he loved almost as much as he loved wrestling, was his wife and his kids.
You think back, if social media had been around, when Owen Hart, had passed away, that's the only
thank person. God it wasn't.
Would he have been the other guy, that you think that would have been like portrayed like this? You Bruiser Brody, everything I ever watch about Bruiser Brody,
mm-hmm.
everyone just has positive stuff to say about him. Yeah. He seems like a real stand up positive guy. There's a couple of wrestlers when you think about down the line, and when you think about the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid we had the social media we did when, just deal with it real quick, a Chris Benoit had died. It would have been horrible. The outlash would have been just horrific. And it really kind of changes the way that you have to deal with something, not only emotionally, but mentally when it comes to professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It, like the whole sport is totally different from like 1998 to now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you said it.
Yeah.
No, everybody would have had nice things to say, Owen, except for Steve Austin.
Probably.
You know.
Okay, Steve Austin. Okay. Yeah.
Well, no, I was proving your point. It would have been the one guy. And I was going to – and you know what? I was going to mention the one guy as far as Luke Harper, but John Huber, excuse me. No. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going. He's no longer a problem. I'll tell you guys off air, but I'm going to I'll leave that off the podcast because you know, since this we started recording, or right before we started recording, it was dealt with, and you know, when you triple down on something you've done, and I'll explain that off air.
Wow.
Okay. I'll tell you off air.
Yeah, I'm excited now.
Don't be, because you just get mad and pissed all over again.
No, I'm not going to get mad. It's hysterical.
I'm going to get mad. I got mad.
At this point, if it's three times, they're sad.
Oh, it might even be five or six. I'll read them all, unless he deleted them since then. We'll find out.
We did want to say something else. What else did we want to do in here?
I do remember the one thing, but I also wanted to mention, because Craig can kind of, I think, riff on this, is we lost Danny Hodge.
I was just going to say that, Dan.
Oh, no.
Before we get that.
We lost the strongest man in the world.
At Christmas Eve, 88 years old, Danny Hodge. Well, it was a rough week.
Yeah, it was. Once this happened, it was buried, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Danny Hodge passed away on the Christmas Eve. He was 88 years old. His last public appearance was, believe it or not, on ESPN. This is when he was 80. It was 2006. It was 14 years ago, so he was
74.
Crushing apples with his bare hands. He still had the grip strength of 20 men. He was born with double tendons in his hand. And because the grip that Danny Hodge had, even at 88,
could
break any man's hand. He was seen as, and what Dan alluded to before we started, that Danny Hodge was seen as the strongest man in the world. And you wouldn't know it to look at him. He was, 5'10", 220. But you shake the man's hand, or if he grips you in a wrist lock or a cross arm bar, he'll break it. And if he didn't, it's because he just didn't want to. But this was a man who, I'm not going to say for all intents and purposes, he was the greatest amateur wrestler of all time. In amateur wrestling, the Danny Hodge Award is just like the Heisman Trophy for collegiate wrestling. He was a three-time NCAA champion. He was the first, Go-Go, the first, not only the first amateur wrestler, but the first wrestler, period, to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Whew.
Before Hogan, before Rock, before Austin, for anybody, the first wrestler, amateur or otherwise, to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated was Danny Hodge. He was an All-American through and through. In professional wrestling, he was an eight-time NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion. He never went for the heavyweight crown. He knew his limitations. He was Jim Ross's favorite wrestler. He went to Oklahoma. He was a Sooner. Probably the story I've told the most, that ended his career with a car accident that he was involved in. His car went over an embankment and plunged into the river. And not only did he extract himself and swim up to shore, but he walked 4 miles to the hospital with one hand holding his neck in place because he had broken his neck in the car accident.
What?
Yes.
What? What is happening?
So Danny Hodge was... They don't make him like Danny Hodge anymore. They never did. I'm guessing somebody needed their ass kicked in heaven because Danny Hodge was called home December 24th, 88 years old. the greatest collegiate wrestler of all time, maybe the greatest junior heavyweight wrestler of all time, maybe the strongest man of all time, definitely had the strongest grip. But Danny Hodge could stretch any wrestler on any roster right now, even in death, I'll say, he could stretch you if you wanted to, because but they don't make him like Danny Hodge anymore.
That's bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to belittle or to lessen the loss of John Huber, but
no,
had Danny Hodge's passing caused that, had that, you would have seen, you have heard just as many stories about Danny Hodge than you have about John Huber, and Danny Hodge stories would have been his prowess in the ring or what he could do outside of the ring and how he helped other wrestlers and put amateur wrestling on the map. Because he is a legend, period, in an amateur professional, and wrestling, period.
The end of the discussion is where you go, well, he held his own neck up.
Yeah.
While he walked to the,
while they walked 4 miles to the hospital after a car accident. Yeah.
What else do we have to discuss?
Yeah.
You know? And go ahead, Mark.
I do have this one thing that I wanted to talk about.
Do me a favor. I'm going to call you out on it on the air. Stop asking me to do things and just do them.
Yeah. No. Okay. So, I don't know if you guys saw this, but our boy, I like to call him our boy because I feel like we are the champions of the champion of the NWA, Nick Aldis.
Yes, our boy. Absolutely.
Do you know that he reached a historic mark as of today, as of like this week?
No.
800 plus days as NWA champion.
Wow.
And you don't see that anymore.
That's like Harley Race level champion. You know what I'm saying? Like,
actually, Dan, he's now third, because the longest reigning NWA champion, and Harley Race never held it that long when he was.
I think they were talking about cumulative, I guess, or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But his straight reign right now is like one of the longest in NWA history. I know he's like benefiting from a pandemic, but
no,
doesn't matter. People are still defending their titles. Get out of here.
Dan Severn is the second longest reigning.
I was going to say Dan Severn's on this goddamn list. Yeah. I was this is Marion Glavin.
Yeah, and the only person that held it longer than that in a generation in more than 50 years was Dory Funk Jr., and he held it 4 years.
And I was going to say. He's only got, what, two more years to beat him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he gives you an appreciation how great Dory Funk Jr. was, that he held it 4 years. But he held it for 4 years, but Race never held it that long. Flair never held it that long. You know, most of the people that we see synonymous with the NWA champion, NWA title, Terry Funk never held it that long. Dusty, no one ever held it as long as Dory Funk Jr. did for a 4.5 year period. And the only person held it longer than that was Lou Thesz.
So, and that's the other person I was going to say was on the list that I saw. I just think a pat on the back should be given to I feel like the guy that we champion for the most, that may be the most underrated professional wrestler, Nick Aldis.
I agree.
Not underrated professional wrestler, but he's the most underrated heavyweight champion. Like people will tell me about the New Japan Pro Wrestling champion and how great they are. And I'll be like, yeah, but Nick Aldis. And they'll be like, who? And I'll be like, you know what? Go away. because I feel like Nick Aldis could beat people in New Japan. I just feel like he could.
Right,
there you go. I said it.
Yeah. And I agree with that. Now, Nick Aldis could, and the thing is, we mentioned Harley and we mentioned Dory Funk Jr. Nick Aldis could have wrestled in that era. I think he's got the look. He's got the body. He's got a great, you know, he's a good interview. He keeps himself in amazing shape. He is someone that would have dominated in the 80s in the territory days. He would have held every title there was in Georgia and Florida and Texas. And it would have been frontline to be an NWA champion just because of the way he carries himself. You can't say that about a lot of wrestlers today that could have wrestled in any era. Nick Aldis is one of them.
And I think, especially, like, I hate saying this, but for a European wrestler to be so damn good, mm-hmm. I feel like they don't have like the pedigree that we do in the U.S. because like they're just always like trying to. It's like I compare it to craft beer. It's like the U.S. has been doing it since like the 80s. Europe's just doing it now, so like they're just figuring it out, and it's like light years ahead. He's like a million miles ahead of whatever's going on in Europe.
But the thing is about British wrestlers, they've been influenced in certain British wrestlers, and there was always an American bias, because if you were a wrestler from Britain, you were pigeonholed, and you were because of the way that you were. Yeah, and even just that. I mean, obviously they make great heels, Chris Adams, but also the way and Steven Regal, but the way that they were trained, it doesn't lend itself to the American style. Nick Aldis was trained in America and just happened to be British. He doesn't have that British paint off him, but he was painted with a British brush, the way Billy Robinson was, the way Chris Adams was, or Tony St. Clair was, or even Steven Regal was. They were, they got their training in England and then came over here. But even a guy like Drew McIntyre, who was also trained in England and in Ireland, he can adapt to any style.
Man, and you know what? Can I just say the amount of garbage that I read on the internet in other groups that I'm in on Facebook and how they slam Drew McIntyre? Oh, worst champion ever. Most boring thing ever.
Who's I'm like, that? Are you,
that group that you quit?
Oh, well, there you go.
I it takes every fiber of my being to not go in there and just light the place on fire every week. And then, like, I get told all the time, oh, I'm a troublemaker. No, I'm not.
You're just fucking wrong about fucking Drew McIntyre. Like, that's all. What's the name of the group? Name the group.
It's like wrestling fans or something.
Yeah, well, wrestling fans, shut the fuck up. You're wrong.
Like, I feel like worst. I go in there every time I go in there. I'm like the old Paul Heyman catchphrase. I'm like the voice of the voice of the voiceless.
The worst? The worst.
No.
I get these arguments with these people. And like they're like, oh, shut up! You're just a Bray Wyatt guy. And I'm like, I'm not just a Bray Wyatt. Like, what?
My friend sucks. I love him dearly. He's a good guy, and I don't have a nasty thing. I don't have a bad, nasty, or mediocre thing to say about Sox. All positive things. Has not sat through as many years. And I don't mean this as a he doesn't know what he's talking about thing. I hate that grandstanding shit. Well, I've been watching wrestling for 50 years. But good for you. I'm very happy for you. Where that applies, though, is when somebody says they're the worst champion ever. I'm like, have you sat through the same 30 years I have watching?
Yeah.
The band? What are hello?
Oh, my God.
WCW 2000?
Oh.
That bad? Get the fuck out of here. How'd I edit that fuck when I said fuck like three times before?
No. Like, God.
Diesel, 95. I'm a Kevin Nash mark.
He was a truck.
And he was a truck, exactly.
His gimmick was he was a truck.
He was a goddamn truck.
He was a truck. It's like giving the dinosaur the world championship in AEW. He's a friggin' dinosaur.
Go ahead, Craig.
You don't know what, no, he's actually great. Stop it.
No, I love him too. But Craig, after, go ahead.
Two words, Ultimate Warrior.
Oh,
there you go.
Jinder Mahal. You know what? Like, when they first gave it to Jinder Mahal, I was like, sweet, this guy's going to get some real good heat. And then nothing happened. Everyone was just like.
But Jinder held it for 6 months. And
it might as well have been 12 years. I felt like I was in prison.
there have been a lot worse champions than him.
Drew McIntyre is the worst, huh?
No.
That's what they were saying.
What is your criteria?
Yeah,
thank you. What is your basis to say Drew McIntyre? First of all, Drew McIntyre is very pretty.
Yes.
First of all.
He's a fine-looking man.
He's a fine-looking man.
He's a physical specimen.
He's a physical specimen. He's a great wrestler. What else do you want from a...
He He's hysterical.
I don't want to talk about any more about this until we're going to light
the building on fire.
I'm going to claim more of their faces.
Yeah.
For legal reasons, that's a joke.
2-1
No, I'm not editing anything. For legal reasons, that was a joke. Greg, I want you to take the lead on the last thing here.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I didn't want to make it all bad, but I figured we had to talk about it because we had to. But let's bring it back. Let's at least end the year with something a little more fun than death.
Yeah, and so, and this something is always a little more fun than death, which is professional wrestling.
Which
and
is we're almost not, dying.
Well, yeah. We're not doing a story in this year, this episode. There's no wrestling story in this episode. But I am wearing my official Mankind shirt. Actually, in this one, has batteries in it. You can press the certain parts Shut of up. The shirt, so it will have a Mankind quote. And it'll just and I got one word for you, Socko.
Socko.
But I'm wearing this because you mentioned 1998 earlier in this episode, and that was 22 years ago. So 22 years ago today was the day that Mankind, Cactus Jack, Dude Love, Mrs. Foley's baby boy Mick won his first World Heavyweight Championship, fulfilling the childhood dream of a kid from Long Island. And now this match wouldn't be televised till January 4th, when the great Tony Schiavone took it upon himself to inform the WCW Monday Nitro audience that the title was going to switch over on WWE. They're going to put the belt on Mick Foley. That'll draw some ratings. Well, guess what, Tony? It did.
That'll put some butts in the seats.
That'll put some butts in the seats.
It's the after. That's like.
Yes, and that would switch the momentum from the WCW to WWE because me and countless others, including a young baby Go-Go Thompson and Dan Colicchio, immediately switched over to the WWF to see the title-winning effort of Mankind over The Rock on this date. It happened on TV on January 4th, but it happened live right here. In whatever city that was.
I don't actually know.
December 29th, 1998, 22 years ago today, Mrs. Foley's baby boy Mick won his first world title. Mick. And what was your memory of that, Go-Go?
Growing up, like that was when Raw was finally hitting his peak. So my brother was The Rock. He was a big Rock fan. Right when he turned heel. He was like, this is the best dude. And I was always like a kind of a Mick Foley guy. Like Mankind. I was like here's a guy, like he's like hard working, he's like tough little dude. And it was like he's kind of looked like me. I was like, this is my guy. Like look at him. He's a big like dumpster fire of a human being. He's rolling down the ring, beating people up. He doesn't care. So then it happened. Like they finally started building this feud between The Rock and Mankind. So me and my brother were like at ends with each other. It was great. We used to beat each other up in the living room on Monday nights. It was fun. So we're watching WCW, and we would always watch that first hour. And then Tony Schiavone says that, and my brother goes, you got to be effing kidding me. And I was like, what did they just say? I go, did they really just ruin Raw for us? He goes, well, we're going over there now. We flipped over. We never flipped back. We never changed back. We used to switch back and forth, like to check out, like on commercials. Mm-hmm. We were so sour that they said that and ruined Monday Night Raw for us. We were like, why would you do that? Why in the world would you ruin the one thing that we all enjoy? So we went over there and we watched it. And we watched Mick Foley win it. And my brother's like, well, that's sweet, man. Congratulations. Like, your guy got it. I mean, he didn't have it for long. Right, like he had it for like 27 minutes total, right? But
still,
he held it two more times. Yeah,
we would only watch that first hour of Raw, mm-hmm. I mean, of Nitro, and then we'd flip over. We would sit through commercials at this point
Because you mean, we're like, you didn't turn off a Buff Bagwell Scott Steiner segment.
We would just stay on Raw because we're like, well, if we go back there, they're just going to ruin more stuff for us. Mm-hmm. And that's how I felt. I was like, how dare they spoil what is like one of the coolest things that's ever going to happen in professional wrestling? Like, not only that, like a title change on Monday night was like such a mind blower.
It was a big deal.
It was a mind blower, especially for the loser, the loser of the whole company to win. I don't know, man.
I just remember it being the Cactus Jack sting mark I was at WCW when they refused for off and on for 2 years. Mm-hmm. That I was like, you guys know the WCW mark I was.
Yeah.
I switched over.
Of course, yeah.
Of course. I was like, well, I'm watching that. And here's the effed up thing. When you go back and watch that episode of Nitro, mm-hmm. great episode. It's fine. It's cool. Yeah. It's a good show. Mm-hmm. And then they pull that, and Bischoff told him to do it. Let's put the blame firmly where it belongs. Bischoff told Tony, hey, do this. And I think Foley attests that it's the head that does it. Like, if he just said, oh, that's great, but it was the
And Mick Foley, Dan, has always credited other people with making his career because he said the heh is what got everyone to switch over to watch his title win. And it was Mr. McMahon after during the skit where Mick went to Mankind went to visit him in the hospital.
Let's
and
just
he
tell
first
Jenny
put on
the story, yeah.
He first put on the sock and then Mr. Socko, Mr. Socko. And then he leave and go, leave, damn it. And all Mr. McMahon does when the camera's on him is just go, Mr. Socko. And that's what made it.
So Mick again, swears that if he didn't go do that.
Yeah.
That you would have never seen it again. It would have been forgotten. The gimmick would have been a one-time thing. But he did that, and you heard the crowd go laugh and applaud.
Yeah,
that sucker came out of his tights every goddamn week.
I'm
after
telling
that.
You.
And the thing is, we have to remember, guys. Raw wasn't live every week. They tape one, and then they record a live show, two live shows. And so one week Raw would be live, and the next week it would be taped.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone knew kind of what would happen. That's how the only reason that Tony and everyone at WCW knew that Foley was getting the belt because it already happened.
Yeah.
So every other week Raw was live. They were going head to head, but WWE taped their shows 2 weeks in advance.
But you know what? Hey, man, it changed the landscape of professional wrestling forever.
It did indeed.
Like, it's literally the first, I would have to say, like, a pipe bomb in the history of professional wrestling. Not like, once again, I'm sure you've got better ones, Craig, going back in time. But, like, it's the first one I remember distinctly being like, oh, no. Wrestling's different.
Go! The Monday Night Wars are a complete era of professional wrestling in and of itself. But that the Tony Schiavone, that was a major pendulum swing. I mean, you can pinpoint, you know, when it started, you know, with Raw and then with Nitro, Lex Luger showing up on the first Nitro.
Oh, I remember
then,
that.
And Rick Rude being on both shows on the same night at the same time. Or Hall and Nash showing up on Nitro. I mean, the pendulum would swing back and forth, but Tony Schiavone saying that, telling the viewers, the Nitro viewers, what was going to happen on a WWE show would swing the pendulum WWE's way. It had never really truly swung back. And not until the.
Do you ever think that, like, Tony Schiavone was like, was he buddies with Mick?
Yeah, they never had a crossword with each other, and Schiavone was always cool with all the others.
Do you think he was like ecstatic to be like, "Well, my buddy Mick, he's going to win the world title." Like he had to sell it like shit. But like in
his
head,
I don't know if he ever addressed that. That'd be interesting.
Like wouldn't you love to know? Like in his head, like in the back of his mind, he was like, "My boy, my buddy that I watched never get a sniff of a title here." In this company that wouldn't respect what he's doing, is now the world champion. Like good, like effing good for him. Now I have to sell it like it's a bummer. Do you think that bothered him?
I think a lot of what happened in WCW with Tony Schiavone bothered him, and I think like a lot of the commentators there. And because, yeah, and Schiavone is a good guy, but he's toeing the company line. He's being told, just like Jim Ross is doing now with AEW. Yeah, and obviously, if you're Jim Ross, you don't need this effing BS. But with your Tony Giovanni and you're in the middle of the Monday Night Wars, you know, and this is back when Vince is on yelling in everyone's ear in the headset every year, every day, every week with the war, pretty much. Yeah. So, no, Tony Giovanni's never had anything personal against Mick or any of the guys that he's ever covered that he's ever been friends with.
I never thought he did, but, like,
no.
I would just love to hear him, like I don't think anyone's ever asked him, hey, by the way, when you had to make that announcement, in the back of your heart, were you like, yeah, my man did that. Yeah, he did. You know, like wouldn't you be stoked? Mm-hmm. Like that's a guy he grew up with him. Like,
yeah,
there's like babyface Tony Schiavone is that Sting Cactus Jack match at Bash at the Beach, right?
Yeah.
That horribly great match that doesn't make any sense.
I think it would have been different, Google, if it was Jim Ross on WCW and he had to call it because he and Mick were close, and it was actually Jim Ross that got Mick the job.
That would have been a totally WWE. Different course.
So
would he lost his job that night?
Yeah. So yeah, I the call by Tony Giovanni is what made this happen 22 years ago today, folks. Not a wrestling historian. We're not doing a wrestling historian, but I had to recognize history on this day. I had to break out the Mick Foley Mankind shirt. And I got one word for you, Socko.
Yeah, we weren't supposed to. We weren't supposed to do this episode at all, but I felt it was nice to speak of John Huber and Danny Hodge. And once you mentioned what the anniversary was, I was like, you know what? So we don't go out on the terrible things that have happened this past 3 fucking days.
Yeah,
let's bring up. Something that was pretty cool, and that was pretty cool.
And I again, not to bring it back to down, Dan, I sent you a picture of the people. This has been a terrible year for every single human being on Earth. This year in wrestling, though, we not only did we lose Danny Hodge, and if it was just Mr. Wrestling too, and Tracy Smothers. I went on a little heart. But even if it was just Shad Gaspard, that was enough of people saying how many great things about one guy, especially from someone who hasn't been with the company in 5 years. That would have been enough to devastate him.
Forgot Rocky Johnson too, man.
Yeah, and Rocky Johnson and
that was so early on.
That
feels like 10 years ago because this year has been so
long. It's been so long, yeah.
Long.
But the people that we've lost this year, professional wrestlers that we've lost this year, and it's been a horrible year. But we'll have this memory. As long as we have this podcast and we can share our thoughts and feelings, they're always going to be a part of us. And, you know, they gave us so much with their lives while they were here. It gave us so much pleasure and joy and entertainment. And laughter and just goosebumps and everything. So for professional wrestlers and the professional wrestling fans, that's why we do this podcast, so we can talk and share our feelings with the people that we lost. And more importantly, with the people that we love. We love all those guys. Even if you never heard of them, they're professional wrestlers. So they're part of the sport that we love more than anything else, which is why we do this week after week after week, to give it to you guys, the fans. And we appreciate you listening, and we can all commiserate and hold hands and comfort each other.
On that note, I want to thank an old friend, Roughneck, American Roughneck, for the thumbnail of Mr. Huber. That he, if you go to his page, if you know, you know, you find his page easily. Mm-hmm. But he does art, and it's great art. That's how I got me a Slimer which I'm going to use every year now for Halloween. He did a beautiful artwork of John Huber as Brody Lee in AEW, and that's going to be the thumbnail. If you're watching this on video, you've already seen it. Gone to the website, on social media, that is what you're going to see. Thank you, Roughneck. I appreciate that.
Wow.
Thank you, Roughneck.
Hey, Fat Luke Harper, where can people follow you on Twitter?
Well, now, accordingly, apparently, hashtag Fat Luke Harper. Clearly, I should go out and see if that's a Twitter handle real quick and steal it.
You should steal that, man.
But at Go Thompson, and that's what we're going with. Of course, you know, all of your social media. Just real quick before I end this, thank you guys for letting me get a little sad sack there. It means a lot. I didn't think I thought I had my S together, but
Mark, as soon as I read your message on the messenger, I was like, listen, I know the year's been rough for everybody, and I know the end of year was, I won't get into detail because it's nobody's fucking business. It was rough, and you took some time off, and you can always take as much time as you need.
No, I know.
You are part of this family, but I wanted to give you a chance. When that went down, I sent a simple message, and of course the door was open. It's always open, brother.
I know. I'll bother you later, too.
You better.
I wrote you this whole message, and then I deleted it. I was like, you know what? I'll wait until after Christmas to bother Dan.
Bother me? I got nothing going on.
No, seriously. Thank you guys both.
That's why I got going on.
And Gogo, just so you know, not that we're going to have a lot of these going forward. He said, but you never have to say I'm sorry.
Yeah, stop. I want you to do two things. If you get upset or happy, don't apologize. Unless you're like, I think that child molester was so funny. Don't do that.
Yes,
but
I haven't done that yet.
No. But my point is never apologize and never ask. I will present it, and I'm doing this live because I don't feel like editing it out. Say the same thing as the Craig.
Your podcast is a different universe than I've worked in. So
yes, thank you. I've gotten compliments that they like. People like how it sounds, and it doesn't sound like us trying to be a radio show. And that's how good I am. But my point is, that was a joke.
That good.
I am that damn good. No, my point was is this is your show as much as it is mine. I vented today on social media, meaning about how it looks. That has nothing to do with who I work with and what I want to do. It is your show. It is Craig's show. It is my show. Don't apologize. Don't ask. Just fucking do.
If I can, you know,
you just did it.
I feel like I dubbed the name above average comedian. I feel like tonight you've almost elevated yourself to almost mediocre comedian.
Thank you,
Dan.
You've
leveled up somehow, sir. Congratulations.
I don't know. I think average is better than mediocre. So can I?
I don't know. Then I'll come up with something that's a more complimentary.
Thank you.
We'll figure it out. And you sir, have certainly well rolled the 20s.
Yes.
In this past year. So thank you. And thanks for letting me come back, man. Like, honestly, if this is the last one we're doing for the year, thank you guys for letting me come in and be part of the family again. And this has been a blast. And you know what? It's a really nice distraction from the universe that I live in. And it's awesome to come here and just complain about guys in spandex complaining about other guys in spandex.
And don't forget, I have a story to tell you off air. So
No, I'm going to hang.
Craig,
sure.
Follow you. How? Where?
Well, Tonto. Sorry, man. Follow you. How? Where? You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter at Craig Ligon, CraigLigons.
Follow me, the obese loser, at DanLaw83 on all social media platforms. I want to thank Tara Clouds for being an upright. C-word at the beginning of the show. It was very funny. And now we have inside jokes that'll last us for another 10 years, like anybody else who's ever crossed us. Follow me at all social media platforms, DanLaw83, twitch.tv or youtube.com/DanLaw83. go to the headquarters, VOCNation.com, on your smartphone, on your podcast app, type in VOC Nation Radio Network. Find all the episodes there and listen and tell all your friends.
And #FatLukeHarper.
#FatLukeHarper. For Fat Luke Harper, for the gentleman that is Craig Lagans, I am the above, well, I am for now the above average comedian, Dan Calchico. We'll see you next time. Have a good one.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists, and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com.
Since 2012, HIAC Talk Radio has been bringing you the best of independent wrestling and wrestling on the worldwide scale with interviews and other segments, now featuring The Wrestling Historian with Craig Lagans. Every Thursday night at 6 p.m. at VOCNation.com, or go to your Android or iPhone and type in VOC Nation Radio Network and subscribe to the greatest wrestling podcast network in the world. Listen to HIAC Wrestling Podcast today.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.